Welcome to the Warsaw Community Church Podcast, where you have a chance to listen to our most recent Sunday morning message. Please take a minute and subscribe to this podcast, and if you're interested, learn more about us by checking out our website at www.warsaw.cc. We hope this message inspires you, helps build your faith, and gives you a new perspective on your journey. And now, here's today's message.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing is made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us.
Well, Merry Christmas. What a difference that a year makes. Last year, on Christmas Eve, I was out in the lobby with our videographer taping our Christmas Eve service, and there were two of us in this building. And I got to tell you, it was weird. This feels a lot better. But we're so glad you're here with us this year. And you know, I've been thinking about, you know, just a short message tonight because we've got kids and stuff and a lot of very excited kids. I remember going to church with my family on Christmas Eve and I was so distracted. The only thing that kept me focused was the fact that I got to play with fire in a building at the end of the service. So kids, you're going to get to do that tonight, but parents, just, you know, keep that in mind that they're playing with fire. But you know, I think about the world that Jesus was born into, and we've been talking about that for the last 4 weeks here in our Advent series, Light of the World. And I think it was probably as turbulent and confusing and divided and scary as it is today. And my prayer has been that every one of you leave this place tonight knowing one thing, that God is not in heaven wringing his hand, wondering what's going to happen next. We don't always understand the why, we don't always understand the how, and we may never get those questions answered. But he does know the answer, and he is the answer, and tonight we're going to talk about why he came into the world. We've been looking at the first chapter of John and talking about the Word becoming flesh, this unique thing that Christianity has where the God, the creator, the sustainer of life actually came into the world he created. As a baby named Jesus, lived a humble, sinless life, died a criminal's death in our place, rose from the dead 3 days later, ascended to the Father in heaven, and sent back his Spirit to dwell in his children, the church. And tonight we're going to talk about some things related to that, and my prayer is that we will all see the hope that comes from this message. In John chapter 1, verses 29 through 34, we kind of see why this baby came into the world. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one I was talking about when I said, 'A man is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me.' I didn't recognize him as the Messiah, but I have been baptizing with water so that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John testified, "I saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove from heaven and resting upon him. I didn't know he was the one, but when God sent me to baptize with water, he told me, 'The one on whom you see the Spirit descend and rest is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I saw this happen to Jesus, so I testify that he is the chosen one of God." And there are three things in this text that I kind of want to talk about very briefly this evening. And I want to go back to verse 29. And it's a command that is in this. There's one command in this text. And we read about it in verse 29. "The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Look, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Some translations say, behold. But what it means is to fix your gaze, to fix your eyes upon Jesus. And it's never been more important than now. We are so distracted. I find myself so distracted. There are so many things that are fighting for our attention, and so many of them are not encouraging, and they're not hopeful, and they're not uplifting, and they don't give me hope. And we are reminded in this text to fix our eyes on Jesus, to look to the light of the world, the hope, the Messiah, the one that has the answers. I've been doing this devotional every morning for about 3 months, Lectio 365, and it's kind of this prayer focus meditation kind of thing, and it has really been cool, just very, very cool. And one of the things they say at the beginning of every lesson in the mornings is, focus your scattered attention upon God. Focus your scattered attention upon God. We are scattered. We are scared. We are stressed. We are distracted. We are spending far too much time focusing on what is broken and what is frightening. We read the headlines and we read the articles, and I find myself being tempted to do the same, but I'm starting to find that if I focus on God first, that stuff doesn't quite seem as scary, intimidating, and awful. And you know, the fact of the matter is, the world has always been a broken place. We just read about it, see it 24/7 in real time. And I think it's creating this angst among us. And my prayer is that tonight, we are reminded to focus on Jesus, to fix our gaze on Him. And I needed to be reminded of that. You know, we've been doing this family tradition that Cookie started years ago. Every time our family gets together for a special occasion, Christmas, whatever, our kids are all coming in this next week. And when we have the meal, we call it, it's, you know, the meal. It's the one where you really focus on things. We go around the table, and Cookie will always have something for us to talk about. Let's go around and say something we're thankful for, or something we like about each other, or something the person sitting next to you on the right, or whatever. And I might change it up a little bit this year, and I might go around and go, how have you seen God in the hard things of life? How have you seen God work in the ordinary things in your life? Instead of going around and saying everything that we're thankful for, please do that if you want to, and what you're grateful for, and how much you love each other, and all that. But sometimes we miss God in the ordinary. Sometimes we miss God in the really hard things of life. And my experience over the years, as much as I don't really like it, is I have probably grown most to the difficulties of life because I'm on my knees, I'm seeking Him when I don't have the answers, when I'm not in control. I'll never forget a phone call I got from Todd a couple years ago when everything got closed down and I was out in Colorado, and he says, hey, we can't meet. And I spent about 2 or 3 days going, we are done. And I finally was like, this is stupid. Okay, God, here's the deal. You said that you would build your church and the gates of hell or COVID or nothing else are going to prevail against it. I've always believed that right here, but I want to believe it here. So it's all yours. Have at it. If you think you know better how to run a church, God, than I do, you go right ahead. Now, that was kind of a joke, but not. I didn't say it out loud, but I thought it. I've been amazed. I've been amazed as I look around even tonight at what God has continued to do in spite of the circumstances. And I want to encourage you with this command to look, to behold, to fix your gaze on the only one that really has the ultimate answers for life and can give you hope in spite of any and every circumstance. So there's this command to fix our eyes on Him, to behold Him, to look at Him. John reminds us to see God in life. But then there's a mistake that I think John makes, that many of us make. And it's again in verse 9, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So what's the mistake? I think for John the Baptist, and I think for the Jews for sure, they were looking for the Messiah to come as a conquering king, riding on a chariot of fire out of heaven. And that's why they missed him. They were looking for something very different. They were not happy with the world they lived in. Israel was under the oppression and under the rule of Rome. And Rome could do anything they wanted to them. And the people were suffering, and they would certainly think that the Messiah, the one they've been prophesying about for 2,000 years, would come back and would level Rome. And that would do away with injustice. And would judge and punish sin. That's what they were looking for. Can't really blame them. That's what they thought the Messiah would be. But that was a mistake. Instead, he came as a helpless infant, born in a manger, and ultimately would become a sacrificial lamb to take away the sin of the world. And something that troubles me today, even, I hear too many Christians saying, God needs to come back and he needs to just do away with all this evil. God needs to come back and exercise his judgment and his justice. Do you really want that? Because his judgment will start with each and every one of us. I think if we knew, like John the Baptist didn't either, but if we knew what God knows, we would ask for something quite different, and it would be mercy. And that's exactly what we get when we put our trust in Christ and we fix our gaze on him. You see, all have sinned and fall short. And like John, if we knew everything that he knew, we would want mercy instead of justice. You see, when God disappoints you, when God surprises you, is it possible? He's got something far better than anything you could have asked for or imagined. And I think instead we, you know, shake our fists at God because he didn't answer this prayer the way I wanted him to, or this circumstance didn't turn out the way I hoped it would. And yet maybe it's in that disappointment, maybe it's in that confusion and surprise that God is doing what we would have asked for if we knew what he knows. Instead of us trying to impose what we think is right on him, why don't we just let him be God and shape us in his image instead of us trying to shape him in our image? Christmas gives us confidence in this notion. God disappointed the Jews. He wasn't the conquering warrior that they had hoped for. He was something much better. And they finally came to see that. He confused the world, but gave the world something much better than they could have ever hoped or prayed for. And the same is true today. The things we may not understand, the things we may not know about, the things we may not like, the things we may even argue with God over may be exactly what we need. And maybe if we knew what he knows, we would pray differently. Christmas ought to remind us of that. And then there's the gift. And I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about a gift during a Christmas sermon, right? And the gift is talked about in verses 33 and 34 of John chapter 1, where John said, I didn't know he was the one, but when God sent me to baptize with water, he told me, the one on whom you see the Spirit descend and rest is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I saw this happen to Jesus, so I testify that he is the chosen one of God. And this is really the reason why he came, why he was born, to take away the sin of the world. But he doesn't just stop there. I mean, think about that. What if he just takes away our sins? That's a great thing, right? And I remember as a new believer, before I really understood what this meant, I thought, well, I gave my life to Jesus. Now I've got to work hard to clean up my act. And it didn't take long before I became frustrated and discouraged because I just couldn't do it, and neither can you. You see, he gives us this gift of salvation, this gift of a new identity, which I talked about last week, this gift of forgiveness and eternal life. But more than that, he gives us himself. Who do you think the Holy Spirit is? The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a he. The Holy Spirit is Jesus in spirit form who dwells in those of us who have received him. You know, we talk about, well, Jesus lives in me. Well, how is that possible? Through his Spirit. And the key for us, once we have received Christ, is not to try harder, it's to actually surrender more. And so his gift is not just the forgiveness of sin. The gift is not just new life. The gift is this power of his presence living in us. You see, Christmas is really about birth, isn't it? We think about Jesus being born to Mary in that manger over 2,000 years ago, and it really is about that. But he was born to a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit, so that those of us who receive him could be born again. We would be given a new identity, a new life, a new start. And we're not left to do it on our own. He is there as our helper and our comforter to help us day in and day out. And so I don't know what you brought in here with you tonight. I don't know what stresses or concerns. I mean, I read the news today. I know what's going on. But you know what? God knows what's going on today, and he knows what's going to be going on tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. And I just want to remind you once again, he's not all that worried. He's got it. And he's got you. And he's got me. And this is the message of Christmas. This baby was born, who was actually God, to save the world. And one day he will come back. And it will be glorious, and he will make everything that is broken, unbroken. He will make everything that is bad, good. Everything that has fallen will be restored. And one day he'll live among us, we'll live with him, we will be his people, he will be our God. And there'll be Christmas every day. And there will be no more pain or suffering or crying or tears. But in the meantime, let's be reminded this Christmas to keep our focus where it ought to be. On him. Therein lies our hope. So tonight, or this afternoon, we're going to close our time together by being reminded of the light of the world. As we light this candle and sing Silent Night, I want to invite you to think about what I've talked about tonight. I want you to think about, where has your focus been? What is pulling you away? What is stressing you out? What is causing you angst and grief and sadness and worry? What are you obsessed with? I want to challenge you to start every day to think about Jesus throughout the day, to look at for him in the ordinary things of life and the hard things as well, because he's moving always. And if you knew what he knows, maybe you'd see things differently and pray differently.
Isaiah 9:2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light.
For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine.
For to us a child is born, to us a son is given.
And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end.
He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness.
From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby. It was night, and they were taking care of their sheep. An angel of the Lord appeared to them,
and glory to the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified.
But the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that bring you great joy to all people.
Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger."
Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying,
"Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased."
Well, Merry Christmas. hope tomorrow, pray tomorrow is a day of hope and rest and joy and peace and love for all of you. And the message that I take away from every Christmas is God wins. God wins. Amen. Well, Merry Christmas and have a great rest of your weekend. Just ask that you go ahead and very carefully put your candles out, and you can put them in containers when you go on your way out of the building. So thank you very much. Thanks for joining us. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we love you and thank you for loving us first. May we fix our gaze upon you this Christmas season and every day after it, for in you is our hope and our promise. We honor you, Lord Jesus, the one, the chosen one, the Messiah. Amen.
If you're encouraged by today's message, please be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you stream your podcasts. For more information about the church or help take next steps, please visit us at warsaw.cc or follow us on any social media channels. Thank you for joining us for this message and for listening to the Warsaw Community Church Podcast.